There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Hello and welcome. You're tuned in to another edition of the Best in Paranormal Talk Radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Along with me at the Supernatural News Desk, Mr. Tim Dennis. Good evening, Tim.
Good evening.
How are you, sir?
Doing very well. Very well.
You have a good Easter weekend?
I had an excellent Easter weekend, actually, to be honest with you.
Good food?
Very good food, yeah.
Good friends? Good family? Everybody around?
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, we've got a launch off this week. We've got some parashare stories we're gonna get to a little bit later on in the show. But we've got not a whole lot of supernatural news. And I got to tell you, I had to weed out a lot of the news coming in on the 31st and the 1st of April because I just got the sincere sense that a lot of it's going to be garbage. And we have to do this every year. So we'll be a little thin to win on supernatural news, but we'll make up for the rest on some parashare. You know, it is the season, Tim, and, well, you know, the resurrection, the return of Jesus Christ, that whole thing was going on. And
he's here?
We covered it on True Crime Tuesday last week, but you've actually got some audio we have to play a little bit later.
I do, yes, yeah.
That, you know, people are still on the fence post, right? Should we believe? Should we be theological? Well, the fact is, Jesus is back, and we've got the voicemail to prove it. But let's get started with some of the other supernatural news for the evening. Where shall we begin this week's journey?
Well, we start in Las Vegas, Dave, where a woman has enlisted a psychic to investigate her Las Vegas apartment. It may seem unusual, sure. I mean, it could leave it up to the police, could leave it to anybody, but a Las Vegas woman says she wants out of her apartment lease after a series of unexplained events. Terry Bell says she moved into her Patriots Place apartment in December of 2017, located near Flamingo and Pecos Road. She signed a 12-month lease, but soon after she moved in, she claims strange things started to happen. At first, I thought maybe it was just my daughter or my grandkids moving through the house, said Bell. Bell says she finally had enough when an object in her apartment moved without explanation. Bell claims a new bottle of bleach came off a shelf and hit a nearby wall. It got outrageous. Lights were going on and off, said Bell. Behind the sofa, there was an outlet where sparks flew and fire shot out of it, explained Bell. Bell enlisted the help of a Catholic priest, a pastor, and a paranormal investigator to look into her apartment.
Wait a minute, that sounds like the beginning of a bad joke. A priest, a paranormal investigator, a pastor walk into a bar.
And
she had to get three different people involved in this?
Evidently. I didn't know a bottle of bleach could cause so much problems, but it did. It caused a little bit of issues. Psychic medium Tana Evans, along with Paranormal Task Force, was contacted to conduct an investigation. Our monitors were hitting max, and that is unusual, said Evans. Evans says a team of people inspected the apartment and found evidence of possible paranormal activity. Explained Evans, what you do have to be is a skeptic going into a job like this. You just can't assume it's going to be a spirit and you are going to capture it, she said. Evans says voice and sound recordings did not capture anything unusual during the investigation. We have to look for electrical problems or certain plumbing problems, said Evans. However, photos taken within the apartment show possible signatures of paranormal evidence, according to Evans. Orbs are sometimes just dust. Oh, thank God somebody finally said that in one of these stories. It can be anything, different lights, whatever is going on, said Evans. These orbs are big, and it is evident that this is not something that the camera or lighting or dust is creating, she said. Evans believes the phenomenon are associated with the land and not the building. Contact 13 consulted with Mark Hall Patton, who is the administrator for Clark County Museum and expert on Clark County history, about the parcel of land. Said Hall Patton, there isn't a lot going on about the area going back as far as ancient times. Indigenous people likely avoided the desolate and arid landscape in favor of more accessible water sources and fertile farming land, according to Hall Patton. Hall Patton points out to maps, satellite views, and deeds dating back to 1970, which show the lot was vacant. It's a fairly anonymous little chunk of land that didn't develop until relatively recently, added Hall Patton. Hall Patton says there was no significant historical event that occurred on the property. Bell began using black salt, sage, and various types of crystals to keep her unit nice and quiet. Ultimately, Bell would like to move out of her apartment. Contact 13 reviewed the lease, and it did not contain an option to break the contract early for her situation. Apartment Ownership Accessible Space Incorporated said there is likely a plausible and mechanical explanation for the strange occurrences. A spokesperson tells Contact 13 that the building is new and still under warranty. Power problems, odors, and unfamiliar noises are common in new buildings, but management will have the general contractor investigate the claims to make sure everything is in order. The building's ownership says they will work with Bell to make sure she understands her options.
Well, good. Everybody needs options.
Yeah, evidently getting out of it because of paranormal activity is not one of them. However,
now, do you believe in this case, is it somebody that wanted to get out, so they're using the paranormal activity to try to get out of the lease? Or do you think that they are trying to get out of the lease because of the paranormal activity?
I think she's using it as an excuse.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. I think cynical so. Bastard. All right. Where are we going to go next?
Well, you know, it's the cynic in me. Let's see. Next, we go to a story about World War II, actually. World War II RAF officers ghost spotting walking through a bar at an abandoned air base. Well, you know, it's one place to haunt as you're going through the afterlife. It turns out that 30-year-old Kyle Thompson was shocked to see the towering apparition when he replayed video footage from his visit to the empty RAF Church Fenton base near Tadcaster, North Yorkshire. The ghostly figure of a former RAF serviceman has been seen by paranormal investigators at an abandoned airbase. 30-year-old Kyle Thompson was shocked to see the towering apparition when he replayed video footage from his visit to the empty RAF Church Fenton base near Tadcaster, North Yorkshire. Captured in the room where World War II officers used to gather to drink and relax, the figure can be seen rising from the floor before walking out of the room, followed by what Kyle claims are balls of energy. The officer appears to have been a tall, imposing figure with a large beard when he was alive. Kyle from Barnsley, South Yorks, said there were around 14 buildings on the base, and we wanted to try and get in as many of them as possible. We found the bar area, and as soon as we went in there, we could hear voices. It was really an active area of the base. When we went into that room, Dave told us he felt funny, so we decided to video the room to see what we could spot. We didn't notice the shape of the officer until we were editing and looking at the video later on. Kyle was amazed when he reviewed the video and saw we had been stood right next to an officer's ghost. He claims that the former serviceman can be spotted rising from the ground before walking away, followed by the residue of his own powerful energy. He said it's a mist coming from out of the floor as if he had been lying down and was getting up. The officer takes a few steps, looks directly at the camera before turning away and walking off. Then six or seven balls of light follow him, and they just come out of nowhere. They aren't specks of dust, like some people say, as they were pulsating. I think it was the rest of his energy following him out of the room. We have captured the figure before on previous visits, but this is the clearest one. You can see that the figure is about 6'4" and has a big white beard, and you can see the outline of his shoulders. It all happens in the blink of an eye, and you can see it better when the video is slowed down. Warehouse worker Kyle, as well as friends Dave Saunders and Mark Gallagher, both 30, make up the Soul Reaper Paranormal Group and spend their spare time exploring locations around the UK for some unusual paranormal activity. The trio have been friends since school and all enjoy exploring the locations so they can share their findings with the public. Dad of two, Kyle, said, We have known each other since school, and we all go out and do this together. We all really enjoy it, and we all like to do it in our spare time and almost always at night. We have been to the base before, and we have had equipment turned off on us before and spotted other apparitions with our naked eye. RAF Church Fenton is one of our favorite locations, and we always plan to go back there and see what we can capture. There you go.
Now, this is weird because this is a really kind of a unique week. Not only do we have the ghost of a former RAF pilot walking through the bar, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there were, I know it's in one of your other stories, there was a ghost plane that was actually visible, and many different people saw this. Have you heard about this story? Everybody was shooting it to me this week.
Yeah, this one has to do with a ghost plane sighting in England. A remarkable number of people in an English county have come forward claiming to have seen a ghost plane flying through the sky earlier in the week. The weird incident is believed to have occurred around 6:45 in the evening over the county of Derbyshire in this past Monday. A local news.
Come on, it's Derbyshire.
Derbyshire.
You're going to get the emails. Derbyshire.
Oh, yeah. Just write it to I could give a flying you know what at darknessradio.com.
Wow. So much hate.
Yeah. Well,
all right, back to Derbyshire.
Derbyshire. A local newspaper, the Derby Telegraph, shared, or is it the Derby Telegraph? You see what I did there?
Actually, I think it's Derby, too.
Is it Derby?
If I remember correctly, yeah, the D-E-R-B. You and I want to say Derby because that's how we brought up reading words as they're written. But I think it's actually like Derbyshire.
Is it Derbyshire? All right.
I think so.
Let's do it that way so they don't write me. I get enough stuff written to me as it is.
Well, even if they write you won't be able to read it because it's all in English.
Yeah, it's all in that, British. It's not English. Well, English is what we do.
Speak Americanese.
A local newspaper, the Derby Telegraph, we'll call it the Derby Telegraph so they don't write us, shared two separate reports from readers who said that they spotted a dark, silent aircraft, which looked to be from World War II, flying incredibly low to the ground. One witness described being afraid that the plane was about to crash due to its precarious position in the sky, and then became baffled as it seemingly vanished from the sky. His account was bolstered by another individual who claimed to have also had a ghost plane sighting at the same time from a different location in the county. The radio suddenly lost all signal and the sky just went really dark, Lindsay Taylor told the paper. All of a sudden, this huge old aeroplane, she spelled it wrong, it's an airplane. See what I did there? Flew straight over our heads, completely silent, and was heading for the ground, but it just disappeared. As intriguing as these two tales from completely different observers may sound, what happened next is truly tantalizing, as the newspaper was subsequently swamped with calls and messages from other people in the county who also saw the ghost plane on Monday night. According to them, dozens of people contacted the Telegraph with similar stories, which echoed the initial witnesses who were profiled the previous day. Well, Derbyshire does have a history of ghost plane stories. This particular incident is rather odd in that it seems to constitute some kind of mass sighting, provided that most of these observers are being truthful. Could they have seen the infamous aerial apparition said to haunt the skies over Derbyshire? Or is it a case of misidentification turned into mass hysteria? That question being asked in the story. Which is put out there.
But it's pretty hard, right? You would guess if it's an old World War II plane for it to be silent. That's where it gets kind of interesting, right? Because I don't know. We've been to those air shows and living in Minnesota right near the airport.
Yeah.
The little airport, the regional one, and the main airport. I've seen those fly overhead before, and they're...
Yeah, they're not quiet.
They're making a lot of racket.
Yeah, they're not quiet planes, that's for sure.
No. So that does leave you wondering. And I'm not trying to tell you how to do your job here, Tim, but...
Oh, no.
As we're leaping from ghost RAF Royal Air Force guys to ghost planes, there was a pretty exciting piece of news, too, as far as UFO flying over not one, but two different planes that both witnessed this UFO. Now, I know you're still on the skeptic side because you think it's stuff that we've built.
Mm-hmm.
But don't you think it's a little dangerous to be flying it directly over the top of not one but two commercial airliners if it's our craft? Why do you think we would be doing something like that? And if it's not our craft but craft of this planet, why would they not have scrambled you know, the fighter jets out to take this thing down if it was in our airspace and that close to our planes.
Well, I think Northwest Airlines pilots proved it years ago, Dave. Most of them are drunk when they're up there anyways. And, wow. You know, they're just, you know.
That's a misnomer.
They're just barely
only,
hitting
only
each other.
Only some of them are drunk. Just yeah. some of them,
Just
too.
Some of them? I thought most yeah. of them were. And that's why they're, you know. Mainly almost oh, hitting gotcha. Each other left and right. You know, that's I'm just kidding. You know, only some of them are drunk. That story you're talking about here, Dave, it has to do with, like you said, something just passed over us. That's the quote, two pilots reporting a UFO sighting over the U.S. They seem to reveal the moment two pilots spot a UFO about 40,000 feet over Arizona and confirm to each other that the air traffic controller exactly... or report to them exactly what they've just witnessed. In a copy of a conversation with the Albuquerque Center Air Traffic Control, the Phoenix air pilot makes the first sighting of the unusual object at around 3:30 p.m. local time. Two pilots on different aircrafts recently reported seeing unidentified flying objects in the Arizona airspace. Yeah, something just passed over us, the American Airlines pilot said. The Airbus pilot reported, yeah, something just passed over us. The air traffic control asked, can you tell us if it was in motion or just hovering? About a minute later, the American Airlines pilot radioed back to the controller to report a freakish sighting. As mentioned above, we don't know what the pilot saw when the UFO was spotted. The air traffic controllers then contacted the American Airlines pilot to ask whether he had seen anything pass over. Moments later, the Airbus pilot confirms that he, too, had witnessed whatever the unusual object is. The American pilot says, doubtful. I couldn't make out if it was a balloon or whatnot, the pilot said. The two incidents are the latest examples of UFO encounters that have come to light after the Department of Defense declassified a number of incidents that involved Navy pilots. Was it a Google balloon, someone had asked? Asked, rather, in the...
It's a Google balloon.
A Google balloon.
Yeah, it's obviously a Google balloon.
You know, those things that take Earth pictures. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but they're, like two commercial airline pilots wouldn't know better.
Well, yeah. Unless they're drunk.
Plus, it's a Google balloon. Isn't it a balloon right. that says Google? Wouldn't that be the big clue?
I don't know if they're marked or not.
They've got to mark them. Everything has to have a marking that's up in the air.
Well, you would think.
Yeah.
Or do
Sometimes
they?
I do.
Well, in the footage, you can hear one American Airlines passenger jet pilot and a Learjet pilot talking about the object flying above. The quote is, other than the brief conversation between the two aircraft, the controller was unable to verify that any other aircraft was in the area. That's what the statement read. Since the release of the recording, the airline has remained mum on the subject and has forwarded all questions about the mysterious aircraft to the FAA. The sighting was about 500 miles from Roswell, New Mexico, which is famed for its 1947 UFO crash. So naturally, many people are now convinced this is proof of aliens.
Obviously. What else could it be proof of?
Drunken pilots.
Google balloons?
Yes,
Are they Google AI balloons. Google balloons?
Yes, AI Google balloons, Dave. They've already crashed a car and killed a guy.
That kind of sounds like a 1990s kind of one of those techno bands. AI Google balloons?
It is, yeah. It's actually, yeah. It's a new wave band,
so,
Dave.
So is that it? Is that the end of that?
No, the sightings occurred within minutes of each other on the afternoon of February 24th, some 40,000 feet above southern Arizona near the New Mexico border. Basically, having UFOs reported there is like having a grape sighting in California's vineyards, is what they're saying. It's where people who want to know go to look. And as such, it has become a beacon for believers and conspiracy theorists alike. And that's the end of that tune.
Nice. Yeah. Weird. Google balloons. Damn AI Google balloons. Now, Tim, we talked about this story last week on True Crime Tuesday, but as it was Easter and he has risen, Tim, I have, and I found a new way to play the audio that's not through the crappy speaker on my phone for people, Tim. I've got rich, beautiful audio that I can play for this. But why don't you read the story of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ at a Pizza Hut? Do you have that story handy, Tim? And I'll play the audio when you cue me.
You're going to play
the audio. I'm so proud of myself with this, Tim. No, I think you're going to really like it this time.
Okay.
I think you're going to be happy with what I'm able to supply you this time.
Okay.
No, it's not me making noises like, It's going to be the real audio.
Okay.
This is the real 911 call.
The real 911 call. All right.
What's the story you got for us?
Well, it turns out, Dave, that a man has told police as he broke into a Pizza Hut that he did so because he was Jesus Christ and he was starving to death. It's been a long time, Dave. It's
2,000 some years if you're counting.
Yeah, I mean if you're keeping track.
Right, and if you're coming back from the dead, resurrection's a hungry, hungry business, Tim.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of hard work on the cells. I don't know how to tell you that. Regeneration takes a lot of work on the cells. Richard Lee Quintero is alleged to have told the 911 operator that he smashed a front window and helped himself to a pizza and some Mountain Dew. You gotta keep your energy
Jesus
up.
Jesus likes the thirst quenchers.
He does. Local media said the 46-year-old is now facing burglary charges after he allegedly broke into the... I don't know how you could say allegedly. He was there. He was doing it. He was doing
right,
the dude.
He called it in.
Yeah, he even called it in.
Which is more proof that he's Jesus, well, in my book.
Yeah, he was honest. Let's just say he broke into the store. No allegedly necessary. Sure. Broke into the store in High Point, North Carolina in the early hours of last Wednesday morning. In a 911 recording, that caller is heard telling police at around 4:30 a.m. Well, you know what? We don't even have to tell him, Dave. We're just gonna play the audio for him is what we're gonna do.
This is truly some of the, we read the story last week on True Crime Tuesday, and we cheated our audience because I didn't even know this audio actually existed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I wanted to bring it to our regular audience this week. Since Easter was just here, it's only fair, Tim, mm-hmm. that they get to hear the actual 911 call. I love this story. Not only is he great, but you have to listen to the awkward pauses from the police as they're trying to wrap their brains around what they're listening to. Are you ready?
Ready.
High Point 911, what is your emergency?
Yes, this is Jesus Christ, and I just broke into the Pizza Hut. I broke the window in, and I'm here. Jesus is here now. He's back to Earth.
All right, and so you don't work there?
No, I just broke in, had a pizza. I'm Jesus.
And what was your name again?
My name's Jesus.
What's your last name, Jesus?
Christ.
Okay, and what do you look like?
I look like Jesus. What else am I supposed to look like?
Why'd you do that?
Because I'm Jesus. I can do whatever I want. We're tired of Judases on this earth. We're going to clean this earth up.
Amen, brother.
So what are you up to?
Man, where do you live at?
I don't. I'm from heaven.
How'd you get over to the Pizza Hut?
I'm from heaven, sir.
Okay. And did you break a front window?
Yeah, I broke the door window, sir.
And did you eat a pizza?
Yeah. Had a Mountain Dew.
All right, you going to stay there for a minute?
Yeah.
Where's he going?
You ain't got any weapons or anything on you, do you?
No, I'm not violent, sir.
Okay. Just hungry?
Yeah, I'm starving to death.
All right.
Everybody's been treating me. I've been beat up in this town. I'm from Indiana.
Jesus is from Indiana.
You're from Indiana?
Yes.
Okay.
People keep beating me up.
Where have you been staying at?
Everywhere. I keep getting kicked out of places.
Mm-hmm.
I got schizophrenia, sir.
Yeah, nobody else is there with you?
Uh-uh.
Obviously, the disciples had the day off.
Well, yeah. I wonder if it's the disciples who are beating them up.
There's no room. There was no room at the inn.
No.
There's no room at the hut. No. Obviously, he's just having a rough go of it. But I love the fact that he's like, well, what do you look like, sir? Oh, I look like Jesus. Where are you from? From heaven. And then he says Indiana. I did not know that heaven and Indiana were one and the same.
Well,
who would have thunk it, Tim?
Dave, have you ever been to Indiana? I mean, it's beautiful. It's beautiful country. I mean, you know.
Yeah, my son goes to college in Indiana. I'm pretty sure he doesn't think it's heaven at all.
No,
not
at all.
Not even close to heaven.
Hmm.
But that is the actual audio. of it. Do you think when the cop showed up, he said, "Take, eat of this stuffed crust pizza, for it is my body, and drink of this Mountain Dew, for it is my blood"?
Pretty sure he did. Yeah.
And in it,
yeah,
you shall find eternal life.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's, was he like loaves and fishes? He's just handing out stuffed crust pizza. Yeah, I'm Jesus.
I never seem to catch Jesus when he's got the good stuff, you know?
No. He's just broke in. You're hungry. I just broke in. Oh, by the way, I got schizophrenia. He's got a good grasp on his own, you know, limitations.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that, again, makes me feel like we're talking to the real guy, Tim. That's the real audio.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, I wouldn't doubt him.
Nope, not at all. Hey, did you get a chance? All right. You know, there, I have not watched this Supernatural TV show in years. Yeah. All right. I think I watched the first two or three seasons. It's not that I didn't I didn't like it. I did. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good for what it was. Mm-hmm. But I just kind of fell away from it. It just, to me, it just came like the Monster of the Week show. And it just wasn't. Now, I've heard it got a lot better after that. And they've really kind of in and outed the characters.
Mm-hmm.
But when I saw that they were doing the Scooby Natural episode,
mm-hmm,
where Sam and Dean were this last week, they were transported from their, spoiler alerts, folks, in case you have not yet watched this episode, you might want to tune down the radio for about 2 minutes here. Anywho, they get a TV that sucks them into cartoon world, and they are then conscious of the fact that they are now cartoons, and then they run into the Scooby gang. They decide to hang with the Scooby gang to figure out what's going on. And of course, the whole time, Dean is trying to hit on Daphne. He calls dibs the minute they get there. And it to me, it was a funny, quirky, fun little episode. I think they missed a couple of great points in it, but it was interesting because, you know, nobody ever really gets hurt.
Yeah.
But in this, people are dying. Shaggy even breaks his arm, and he's like, "What? This has never happened before." Ooh. So, it was a funny little show. I thought they did it pretty well, and it was entertaining. So, if you haven't seen it, just check out the episode. I won't tell you what happens, but there are some cute moments to the episode, and it's a quirky deal. And I like sometimes when they think outside the box and do something. And first of all, just to watch a Scooby-Doo cartoon where somebody actually says, "Son of a bitch," that made it worth it for me right there. Did you see it?
No, I didn't. No.
It was good. Like I said, it was a fun little episode. Just check it out. It was just on this last week. All right. Do you have any other stories for us?
I do. I have two more here.
All right. What have we got?
We'll go to this one with the Loch Ness Monster. Supposedly spotted by an American tourist, and Nessie had her family in tow, Dave. Evidently, it was a family picture day at the Loch Ness. Tourist Dakota Franson was on holiday from Idaho when he reported seeing a large dark shape with the skin of a hippopotamus. Ooh, we're getting detailed now. The Loch Ness Monster has reportedly been seen with her family in tow. Tourist Dakota Franson was on holiday from Idaho when he reported seeing a large dark shape with the skin of a hippopotamus about 40 feet in length, moving about in the water close to the... Is it... You got to tell me what the castle is here. Is it Urquhart?
Sure.
Okay, Urquhart
Castle. Yeah, I believe that is how you say it. Congratulations, Tim. The Scottish people will not be emailing you this week.
Well, they never do. I actually long for a Scottish email, Dave.
They have better things to do.
Yeah, they're out golfing or whatever it is they do. The Urquhart Castle Jetty is what it says here. Did I get that part right, Dave?
Yes. Okay, good. Well done. That's two for two.
Thank you. The castle is a favorite sighting spot of Nessie. Interestingly, there were a number of shapes seen in the water, so it may be Nessie and her family, said Gary Campbell, keeper of the official register of sightings at Loch Ness. The main shape seems to be purportedly avoid the boat traffic in the area, but Dakota also reported that as a black speedboat came by, it seemed to attract the central shape's attention, which led it to briefly surface. The skin of the object was gray in color, almost like that of a hippopotamus. Other similar shapes seemed to also appear, but quickly vanished. Sightings of the Loch Ness Monster set new global records last year. Nessie's 11 accepted sightings in 2017 were the highest this century. a woman who had a monster surprise on her honeymoon in the Highlands, also recently won 1,500 pounds for her experience. The annual Best Nessie Sighting of the Year was won by Rebecca Stewart of Lancashire with a picture she took on her honeymoon last October. That's no Nessie. Oh, I'm kidding. Mrs. Stewart from Chatterton Oldham photographed and saw a large fin shape for 5 minutes. Her husband, Paul, also saw the creature, which was taken while they were with their 2-year-old son, Thomas, along with the family dog. Mrs. Stewart's sighting was accepted by the official Loch Ness Monster Sightings Register and then entered into the competition, which has a prize of £1,500, given by bookmakers William Hill. A bookmaker last year slashed the odds on the possibility of the Loch Ness Monster's existence being proven. Betway cut the odds of the beast's existence being confirmed from 5,000 to 1 to 500 to 1. There you go there. And one last...
Oh, that's good. Right. All right. Yeah. Our final supernatural news story for this week. Where are we off to next?
One last one here, Dave. Australian neighbors are feuding over a death ray. That's true.
What?
Yeah, a death ray, Dave.
What?
Yeah, there's no guns in Australia, Dave, but evidently lack of guns means we feud over death rays in Australia. A death ray, Dave.
Death ray, you say?
Yeah, death ray. A truly bizarre battle involving feuding neighbors and a homemade death ray has erupted on a street in the suburb of Sydney. A couple named, I believe, Katya and Stephen recently appeared on a national television in Australia to reveal that their neighbor Nathan is seemingly targeting them with a rather unorthodox weapon. According to the duo, their disgruntled neighbor has positioned a whopping 9 mirrors on his property so that they send afternoon sunlight blasting into the living room of their home. It's like the Star Wars movie. It's a bleeding death ray, declared Katya to the Australian TV show A Current Affair. Making matters worse, she says authorities have offered a little recourse when it comes to extinguishing the annoying improvised spotlight. Katya lamented the police have basically just said, keep your blinds closed and keep the kids out the back. For his part, Nathan hasn't offered any specific reason for why he assembled the death ray, quote unquote, simply telling the TV show that his neighbors are idiots. However, after the program aired on Australian television this week, things somehow took an even stranger turn. It would seem that the Star Wars comparison for Katya inspired something in Nathan as he decided to don a Darth Vader costume and wielded a lightsaber. You heard that right. Of all things, this was apparently a bridge too far for police as he was subsequently arrested for presumably menacing his neighbors, and he is banned from the street until a court date is set for next month. It remains to be seen whether or not the sun has set on the strange feud, but we're guessing that Katya and Stephen are hoping that this is the case, both figuratively and literally.
Well, that's it.
That's it.
Death rays.
Death race.
Tim, I'm going to Australia in June.
Uh-huh. Good luck.
I thought I had to worry about the giant snake-eating spiders.
No, no.
The deadly, deadly drop bear. And let us not forget, Tim, the Rougarou.
Not even
close. Australian phobia.
Yeah, you don't even have to fear the beer anymore.
No, Tim. Nope. Now I've got to fear death rays.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in Australia is trying to kill us.
Yep.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We've got more of the best in supernatural news. And next, your stories on Parashare Monday. This is Beyond the Darkness.
Beyond the Darkness.
Hello, welcome back. This is the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. Tomorrow is True Crime Tuesday, Tim. The Golden State Killer. This is a prolific killer, rapist that has been on the loose for much too long. We're going to talk about this case. We're going to talk about the crimes. We're going to talk about what's been going on. Who knows? We might even get some tips. We might get some information out of this. So tune in and check that out tomorrow. How do you get True Crime Tuesday? It's real easy. Just go to darknessradio.com, click on the True Crime Tuesday banner, and you can subscribe right there. That's the way that's the easiest. Unless you've got the Google devices, all of the Droid devices, you can just go into the Google Play Store, get our Darkness Radio app, which is free. Then you'll see a button in there for True Crime Tuesday. Click it, and it'll help you subscribe right through there. So you've got them all under one umbrella, making it very easy to subscribe. And it's only $5 a month, Tim. Did I ever tell you that? Just $5 a month?
Oh, wow. Really?
That's a buck and a quarter per week.
That's nothing.
A buck and a quarter for a 90 to a 120-minute episode of the strangest and most unusual true crimes. And you get Dumb Crimes, Stupid Criminals. You get I Knew a Murderer. You get all kinds of crazy stuff. And tomorrow's going to be a good show. So make sure you check that out. You can subscribe again by going to darknessradio.com. Click on that True Crime Tuesday banner and join us. Now that we're Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with our new episodes of Beyond the Darkness, that's right, we're down to just 3 episodes a week. Once in a while, we'll throw in a couple of additional episodes on Tuesdays and Thursdays that will be throwback episodes. But for the time being, we'll be Monday, Wednesday, Friday with Beyond the Darkness. Tuesday is True Crime Tuesday. So you still get 4 shows from us, and that's the way you can subscribe and hear the 4th show every week. As the fall comes back and we're wrapping up some of the things that we're working on right now, we will be coming back with a 5-day-a-week show and continue on as you've known us for many years. But both of us are out right now trying to, we're dealing with a lot of stuff behind the scenes and a lot of different plates are spinning, if you will. So we're trying to make sure that we have time to take care of all the things we need to take care of, and then we'll be back again in the fall. So I'm mentioning that because I still have people emailing me asking where our Tuesday and Thursday shows are, Tim.
Really?
So I'm just trying to address that for the listeners. All right. It is Parashare Monday. That means your turn to shine, America and the rest of the world. How do you do that? Just send me your stories, Dave@darknessradio.com. That's Dave@darknessradio.com. And we'll read your stories and share them on the air right here. Hey, Dave. I always feel uncomfortable when it starts off that way.
No. It's fine.
Sorry.
No,
well, because I tell them to send it to Dave@darknessradio.com. No, I think that's why they do it. They're not like, screw Tim. No, we don't want to talk to Tim.
They probably are, but that's fine. I'm good with it. I'm good.
Oh, all right. Then I'm fine with it, too. All right. Hey,
what?
Dave, I'm a long time. What? Oh, I was just trying to support you that decision. Uh-huh. Hey, Dave, I'm a long time listener. I'm a 19-year-old from Utah, and I've had a few terrifying experiences. Let me start from the earliest. Growing up as a kid in my house was chaotic. My parents, whom later got divorced, would fight constantly, sometimes violently. My father was borderline abusive, and eventually we split ways and our relationship came to a close. My house had a very negative feeling to it, like the walls absorbed the anger and spit it back out at me in gentle whispers. I used to have momentary pauses where there were vague silence in my home. I would hear snapshots of conversations, little blurbs of words and sentences that would pass in and out of sort of like someone turning through television channels. One time I was particularly frightened by a specific and loud female voice repeatedly saying, "Katie, Katie." I rushed to my mom in near tears, and she was shocked. She sat me down and asked me if I'd ever heard that name before. I had. Turns out she had a close cousin named Katie who died in a horrific car accident when she was a teenager. It was the oddest, most terrifying coincidence I've ever encountered. Another time before I cut contact with my father, we were staying in a motel when the mirror fell off the bathroom wall and shattered into the bathtub at about 2 a.m. Glass flew so far it landed on the bed. Yikes.
Wow.
Yeah. And that comes from Alec. So thank you very much for sharing that, Alec. And that sound that you just heard means it's time to pick a winner, Tim.
Oh.
No, it just means I forgot to turn the buzzer down on my phone. Sorry about that.
Oh.
Yeah. I lied about the winning. Hi, Dave. Ugh, good grief. We start off that way again. Wanted to share something my sister, mom, and nephew experienced this weekend. My dad passed away last summer, but he's still around the house. This is what she sent. Mom, B, and I all heard Dad yelling downstairs around the same time last night. Mom heard him say, "Kath." I heard, "Get out of the way." And B heard, "Get out of the way of my goddamn NASCAR." Definitely sounds like Dad. Reading this gave me chills and happiness all at the same time. Thanks. And that comes from Mike in Fargo, North Dakota, don't you know, Tim?
Yadder he.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You like that? Now, let me check here real quick. Travis sent me a story.
Okay.
Let me see. He sent it in two parts. I just want to see if I've got the whole thing here. Hold on.
Sure.
I have been. Oh, here we go. Hey, Dave. Oh, that's the trifecta. I've been listening to your radio show for a while now, and I've been compelled to finally share my story. I'll try to make it short and sweet and would love for this one to be told on the show. I'm currently 23 years old, and back when I was about 13, that was 10 years ago, Tim, so you don't have to kick off your shoes and count it backwards. Mm-hmm. I was living with my mom and stepdad. We were looking for a new house to move into, and this takes a turn just like it would a horror movie, Tim. I said horror, Tim, a horror movie.
Oh, yeah.
We find this beautiful two-story home, two bath, three bedroom, backyard, the whole nine yards. Well, we went to the open house. I've always been interested in the paranormal and have had past experiences with ghosts. And the very first time I was in the house on Bates Avenue, I went down into the basement to check it out. I didn't get close. I didn't close the door behind me. Why would I, right? Well, when I went back up the stairs after about 5 minutes of me being down there, the door was shut and locked. I could not open it for the life of me. I yelled for my mom, and the weirdest part is, the moment she came over, she turned the door handle as if it wasn't jammed or locked. So I put it into consideration that it was a wooden door and an old house, but the feeling of darkness washed over me, and I knew from that point on, very creepy things would happen. Minor things would happen throughout the house as time went on, and the only room that felt the safest was mine. I did bless it. So, on to the few things that stuck out with me. One time, a crow came into the kitchen window and would not leave it. It just sat there and stared at me. I remember trying to get into it, or tried to get it to go away, but it didn't budge. I was also told to never go up in the attic, which to note was right above my mom's room. I got the courage to get a chair and bring it up the stairs and open the old-type attic door. You had to push up and in. Well, what I thought I saw was the cliche thing, but a woman in a white gown and long black hair crouched over in the far corner, straight across from the attic door. I was in disbelief and slowly closed the door. I couldn't make any sudden moves because not only was there a stack of pillows piled on the chair to help me get up there, the staircase was directly behind me. I could have easily fallen to my death. Well, let's fast forward some time, maybe a couple of weeks, and that is where it gets the creepiest. All right, I just feel we kind of have to do a little, I don't know, what do they call it? One of the public service announcements, Tim?
Yeah, yep.
If folks, if you have a creepy attic in your home and you think something's up there or something's suspect, and the only way to get up there is by putting a chair at the top of the stairs and balancing pillows on it, I think we've all learned from enough horror movies and, you know, cats jumping out or raccoons or bats or something like that. You don't want to be unnerved and unbalanced at the same time. That just seems like a bad plan all the way around. So please don't do that kind of thing ever again. I feel like we've made the world a little safer right now, Tim.
I think we have.
One night, while I was in my room, right next to my mom's, I was watching South Park. It was maybe about 10 p.m. My mom was in her room, and all of a sudden, in the top right corner, I hear bang, 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 three times. And it happens again and again. So at this time, I get up because I thought my mom was pounding a nail into the wall to hang a picture. I go into her room, and she's sitting on her bed painting her toenails a burgundy color. Well, that was very specific.
Yeah.
She looks up at me, very confused, and tells me to knock it off. She heard it too. At that point, I knew something was wrong, and my heart sank into my stomach. I went back into my room, and it happened maybe two more times, and always in three bangs, Tim. Well, I tried to piece it together, saying maybe someone was outside doing construction. No way, because it was on the second floor at about 10 p.m., so all the logical possibilities went out the window. My stepdad finally came home from a late night shift and got ready for bed, which I did also. I was in my bed with my light on, about to fall asleep, when my door handle begins to jiggle. I immediately thought my mom was about to open the door and come in to tell me goodnight. Nothing. And then I said, well, it's got to be my cat reaching up at the doorknob and playing around. I turned over and I heard my stepdad get out of bed and walk down the stairs. He got something to drink. He came back up and then went downstairs again, probably to put the glass in the sink or forgot something. I then heard him get up like three more times walking up and down the stairs. Wait, there's no way he would be doing this that many times. I'm frustrated at this point and slightly on edge. I get up and move slowly to the back door to open it to see and look right over to their room. The door was open, but they were both sound asleep. He didn't get up that many times. I'm then in a panic mode. I shut the door. I run back into bed, sitting up, but I'm holding onto my legs, trying to figure out what's going on. Minutes passed, and there's a hallway going from my room off to the left, and down at the end was the extra bedroom and the bathroom. Well, I hear as if someone just got out of the shower and walked down the hallway. Not all the way, but like they were drying off. I could hear the footsteps and water dripping off, hitting the wooden floor. I followed the sound. It went from the bathroom slowly all the way to my room and stopped. Nothing more. I was waiting for someone to fling open my door and come rushing in at me. Nothing major happened, but how do you explain these things? More occurrences happen, just like in the movies of my mom and stepdad arguing more. I would encounter strange things such as the crow and the lady. I was compelled to write creepy, dark poetry. My friend once encountered the lady in white. Oh, to end it here in the same place, the woman I saw in the attic was the same place the loud bangs were coming from. Thank you very much. And that comes from Travis M. How about that? Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How comfortable could you be in a house if you peeked into the attic and you saw a woman in a white dress huddled in the corner with long, stringy, greasy black hair? Yeah. Wouldn't that unnerve you a little bit?
First of all, I'm wondering who in my house has her up there. Because, you know, I'd be more suspect of the people in my house than what that person is doing up there. I know it seems weird.
Oh, so you're thinking like Love Slave or something up in the attic. Are you starting to think, oh my gosh, yeah, I have been on Ambien lately.
No, I'm not questioning myself.
Maybe you went up there and stuck her up there, Tim. No, maybe.
I'm not questioning myself. I'm questioning the people around me. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, or you. Just saying.
No,
Ambien.
No.
I've watched you sleep dial your phone. Mm. I've even watched you sleep disco, Tim. Maybe there's a chance you're sleep stealing people and putting them in your attic.
I love me some sleep disco, I'm not going to lie.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Hey, Dave. Oh, brutal this week.
I think you're
brutal.
Doing this on purpose.
I promise you I'm not. I'll share one of these stories with you.
I think it's on purpose.
Hey, Dave, you recently shared another listener story of hellhounds that they encountered. I had to contact you and share my own. A couple years ago, I was driving my girlfriend at the time home. Oh, my God. Let me try this again, Tim. Words is hard. A couple years ago, I was driving my girlfriend at the time home late one night. We stopped at an intersection near her neighborhood, where I decided to go ahead and look down to change the song playing on my phone. When I looked back up, I saw a large black dog run right in front of my headlights. My girlfriend said, "Whoa, did you see that?" I replied, "Yeah, it was just a dog." "No, that dog looks weird," she said. Right there and then, it passed in front of my lights again. I was terrified when I noticed that it had no features, but was more like a solid black mass in the shape of a dog. It ran past my window, and I noticed that it had what seemed like smoke coming off of it. "What the fuck is that?" I screamed. It circled around and went past my girlfriend's window, going directly into my car's beam of lights again. As soon as it cleared them, I floored it and sped off down the street. We both couldn't believe what we had seen. When we got to her house, we sat in my car and tried to process what had just happened. She broke down in tears and revealed to me that an uncle of hers had claimed to have seen the dog similar to what we had just seen shortly before he passed. She said what we had seen was exactly what he had described to her family. He said he felt it was death coming after him. I comforted her as she cried and tried to play tough, but deep down I was absolutely terrified. Was it there for her or for me? A couple weeks later, I was driving alone one night down a dark country road. that I would usually cruise on the weekends. Everything was normal when all of a sudden I noticed something moving just out of the beams of the light of the car on the edge of the road as I drove. I slowed down a bit and was shocked to see what was revealed by my headlights. It was that dog again, but this time it was running alongside my car as I drove. I was terrified when I suddenly remembered that the speed limit for this road was 70 miles per hour. This thing was keeping up with me. It was exactly like I had seen it before, a large black mass with smoke coming off of it. As I glanced back and forth between the road and it, I slammed on the brakes. When I turned to look at it, that its head was backwards, not turned, and was looking straight at me with glowing white eyes. I'd never been more afraid in my whole life. I immediately did a U-turn and hauled ass back into town. I was shaking the entire way home. Was what I saw a hellhound or something else? Are these things associated with death? My grandfather passed shortly after these events. I've spotted the dog a couple times since then while driving, but only for a brief moment as I drove past it. I haven't really found any other stories online similar to what I saw. I've always felt that I'm sensitive to the paranormal and have experienced a lot of things that I couldn't explain. I have a lot more stories of things I have experienced in my home and throughout my young 21 years of life. I love the show and always look forward to listening to you and Tim every night. And that comes from Raymond in Texas. So there you are. You're mentioned at the end of that, Tim. Raymond loves you and says so at the end of the show, at the end of the letter. Do you feel better?
Oh, I did at the beginning. Yeah.
All right. No, that's good.
Yeah.
What is it? I don't know. Now, I've heard that a lot of truck drivers see the black dog. So you might want to Google truck drivers black dog. And I think that most of them, they see it like when they feel like they're ready to nod off or they might be in danger. So maybe you were getting more tired than you thought, and this dog was just trying to spook you to keep you awake. Huh?
Yeah, that's one theory.
I have a question here, Tim. Is it a sign or coinkydink? That's what this one starts off with. Hi, Dave. Embarrassing. I had a kind of weird experience the other morning that involved you in a way. Oh, now I understand why this is happening. All right. And I would like your opinion on it. The other night, I went to sleep listening to your podcast like I usually do. Well, thank you for that. Not that you bore me or anything, but your voice is just so soothing. Well, thank you. I've been told that before.
So you bore her to tears, evidently. You bore her to tears to the point where she falls asleep.
Sounds like it. Anyway, I woke up early in the morning and for no reason, and hear you say Trout Lake. The phone was playing your podcast from last Tuesday, I think. The weird thing is, I'm supposed to go to Trout Lake this weekend. So I'm reading too much into this, maybe? Could it just be a coincidence? Or are you trying to warn me of something? And that comes from Angela.
Alien abduction.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have a good time, Angela. It's beautiful there.
Yeah.
If you get a chance, go check out Eseti Ranch. ECETI.org. That's ECETI.org. If you're not going up there for that reason, check out the Eseti Ranch. Make sure to stop by and go tell James Gilliland, your buddy Dave from Darkness Radio, says hi. I think that's what I would do, Tim, if I were going to Trout Lake.
It's beautiful. It'll be the last thing you see before they take you into space. But it'll,
no,
it's beautiful.
I've been there. I don't think I've been taken to space.
Well, I'm just saying for her. I mean, you came back. But
okay, so this next email, Tim, is from Carlos Rivera.
Ah.
He begins, "Hey, Dave and Tim." There was a long pause he had in there. It was, "Hey, Dave, dot, 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 dot. And Tim." See, he was toying with you a little bit there. My name is Carlos.
Hi, Carlos.
From Massachusetts. My parents owned a two-family house when I was... You know what? I never get emails telling me how to pronounce that properly, Tim. People must just hate the way you speak. Do you think that's it? I never get Massachusettsians writing to me saying, "Hey, dumbass, it's not Massachusettsians, it's Massachusettsians." What is the proper way to say that, Tim? How do you refer to people from Massachusetts?
Massachusetts.
I know Jeff, who is from Massachusetts, calls himself a masshole. Is that kind of the...
Yes, that's exactly...
Is that the...
Yeah.
So, like, I'm from Illinois. I'm known as a fib, which is an Illinois bastard.
Right.
So is a masshole kind of the endearing slang colloquialism for that time?
Sure.
So I can say colloquialism, but I can't say Massachusetts. Tim, there's something wrong with me.
No.
Anyway, my parents owned a two-family house when I was growing up. When my aunt moved here from Puerto Rico, she moved upstairs. One day, my mom sent me up there to ask her for something, and I could see into the living room, and there was an old white lady sitting in a chair. I thought nothing of it and went downstairs. A few years later, a family friend moved up there. I went to ask him something and saw the same old lady in a chair in his living room. I said nothing and left. The next day, I say to him, going to his door and asked him who the old lady was. He says, "I don't know. She's harmless. I see her all the time." Thanks for reading, and that's from Carlos. That's pretty cool. Could you be that calm? Oh, yeah. I don't know. She seems harmless. I'm good with her. Maybe, no big problem.
Maybe slip her some tea with a whole bunch of Metamucil in it and see if she's still sitting there when you come back.
This could be a dangerous email. Read about something strange is what the title says, Tim. You ever had something happen in the middle of the night? Now, if it was in daytime when I'm up, you know, I wouldn't be doubting. But I don't know, Dave. I wanted to share this with you and Tim. I'm laying in bed. This could go horribly wrong. I'm not sure where this next sentence is going to take us, Tim. I'm laying in bed, and I know I wasn't dreaming. On my back, I could swear I heard something. I don't know if it was male, female, or what, say, "Hello." It was a ooh or ah or some sound. It was a word. I'm asking myself today, you losing your mind? I started to panic, then used logic. The doors were locked, alarm on. I called husband at work. Him asked, him asked, suddenly I'm turning into Tarzan. Him asked what time it is. He said 4:30. Sounded like it was in here, not something outside. Beats me. I'm saying things like this and go to the light. It was very crazy. Now, years ago, it's Sunday morning. I'm about, I don't know, maybe 11 years old. I was in grade school, and mom was in bed with me lying on her side. So she didn't know I was laying on my back awake, and I heard my name. She jumps up. I said, "You heard that?" And then the phone rings, and the gal that lived around the corner found mama's lost house keys by a mailbox half a block away. I'm thinking, why did something have to say my name for Sandy to call? But it was something I'll never know who or what it was. Mama went in the front room and asked, "Daddy, did you call Janice?" He said, "No, I was sleeping." It's just one of those things you question in the middle of the night. Weird. What do you make of it, Dave? Oh, you know that Diana Ross song, "I'm Coming Out"? If this happens again, I'm writing a song. I'm calling it "I'm Moving Out." Goes like this. "I'm moving out. I want the world to know." All right. I'm not going to continue to sing that. But yes, I get the point. What was it? I don't know. But they've covered that in many songs. I mean, geez, in the Rainbow Connection, Kermit the Frog specifically says, "Have you been half asleep? And have you heard voices? I've heard them calling my name." Right? So it's part of our world. Even the Muppets wake up to the sound of their voices being called, Tim.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
No, I don't think you are. I think sure? I think the Muppets have had plenty of psychic experiences. Yeah.
"Hello. My name is Inigo Montoya. This is my story. Actually, my name is Diane Martinez from Los Angeles, California. I love your show, and I've been waiting to share my story for a long time. I've only two. The first is pretty short, but I believe more terrifying the second. My first encounter with the paranormal, I was 22 years old, and I had my 2.5-year-old son, Gabriel. For a short time, we needed a place to stay due to a divorce, which I won't go into. My best friend lived with her folks, and they very generously let me and my son live in their house in Long Beach, California, free of rent until I got back on my feet. My son and I would share a bed and room with my best friend. I will call her Sharon. Now, before we had ever moved into that house, I remember Sharon telling me every once in a while in the dead of the night that she would feel her bed sink down as if someone had sat there. But when she would look, no one was there. She also said she would feel something was on top of her, holding her down a few times. It would choke her. My son and I had moved in, and we were right there for a few months, with living very happily with absolutely nothing out of the ordinary.
of our day-to-day lives until one night. Sharon's bed was in the corner of the room right up against the wall. Now, I slept on the left side of the bed facing the wall. My son was in the middle, Sharon on the right side facing out toward the rest of the room. The first night felt anything. I was sleeping against the side of the bed on my side facing the wall like usual. I remember I kept waking up in the middle of the night, and I had this feeling that multiple hands were reaching up to grab me and pull me down, which is impossible since the bed was right up against the wall. You couldn't even reach down there without moving the entire bed. I remember having that feeling all night long, but I kept waking up thinking I was going to see multiple pairs of hands reaching up to grab me, but there was nothing. So the next day, I decided I was going to go to sleep on the right side of the bed facing out. This night, I will never, ever forget. We had all went to sleep, myself facing out. Sharon was in the middle next to me. This night, my son on the side facing the wall, cuddled up next to Sharon. I don't know why I woke in the middle of the night, but I did. You know how sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night, open your eyes, and go right back to sleep? Well, that's what happened, but as soon as I opened my eyes, I saw it. It was huge, at least 7 to 8 feet tall. It had been standing up straight. Its head would have hit the ceiling. It was all black. It was wearing the typical death outfit, you know, the one seen in the cartoons or drawings, the long black cloak with a hood over its face. But the death in drawings usually had a white skull thing. The thing in the room, which I really believe now was a demon, had no face. It was an absolute darkness. The hood of the cloak looked like it was over a head. I could see absolutely no face, just blackness. I knew I could see it. Now, even though it had no face, I knew it was staring at me. It was all bent over from the waist, facing forward straight at me. As I said before, it wasn't standing up straight, not so far forward, just enough so it was bent. I could tell it was looking directly at me. And as I said, it had no face, but I knew it was staring at me. All I could feel was it had sheer hate of me. I could literally feel the hate pouring off of it. It hated me so much. It despised me. It hated that I could see it. I could feel this unidentified, utter hate. But that's what was absolutely. I think it might be hard to understand. I don't believe you could ever feel that from a human, no matter how much they despised you. I could feel that pure hate radiating from this creature straight to me. I was beyond terrified. I knew I couldn't scream, even if I wanted to. I remember trying to whisper my friend Sharon's name, but nothing came out. I was just too scared to even touch her. All I could do was, like a child, pull the covers over my head. I don't know how long I eventually fell back asleep. The next day I woke up. As soon as I opened my eyes and saw Sharon was awake and well, I said, "Oh my God, Sharon, last night I saw this huge black thing. It was staring at me." Before I even said where I had seen it, Sharon said, pointing over there in the corner. I said, "Yes, in that corner." Sharon said, "Oh, I've seen it all the time." I was like, "What? Oh my God, you see that thing all the time?" She said, "Yes." That was pretty much the end of that. I had prayed I would never have to see that or anything like that again. I never did see anything like that again, but that was not my last experience with the paranormal. I will follow that one up in another email for you. Oh, what a tease. But thank you, Diane. Appreciate that. That's creepy as hell. First of all, if you had a kid and somebody told you that, "Hey, in my room, it's been known to have something sit on my bed. Sometimes it holds me down." And I see, I'd have a real hard time staying there.
Yeah, I don't know that we'd be there too long.
And then when you see, I don't know, death standing in your room, I don't know.
Well, the way she,
time to get out.
The way she described it, it wasn't even death. It was just something that absolutely hated her. I did that, you know, almost demonic. If I'm feeling like it's demonic, I don't think I'm hanging out too long.
I agree. A couple last emails here. "Hello, Dave and Tim. I have told my story on Coast to Coast. My husband had a lung cancer, and the tumor had traveled to his brain. He had been in a coma state for at least 48 hours. I was at the hospital when my husband, Jim, passed away. I was standing right next to him, talking in his ear, telling him it was okay to leave. I was crying uncontrollably when his breathing became very shallow. I knew the time was getting closer. I could not see clearly because my eyes were filled with tears. Then I experienced my husband sitting up as I was talking to him in his ear. My first thought was, he's sitting up now. My brain was tiring to this process, my brain was trying to process this. At the same time, I tried to wipe the tears away so that I could see him. When I did, he was not sitting up. He was still lying down, confused and very emotional. After a while, I knew what I experienced was him leaving his body. When I play that experience back in my mind's eye, I see more detail, a bright white light skeleton form moving, sitting up. At least that is my interpretation. I told the story to family and friends. Thank you, Dave. I do enjoy you as a host of Coast to Coast as well. Keep doing a great job. And that comes from Sandra. Well, thank you very much for that, Sandra. We appreciate you sharing your real life encounter with us. One more story. How about that, Tim?
Sure.
All right. Here's the first scenario. We're talking, I put out the call for people that had ghostly encounters at hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
I worked at Sutter Hospital in Vallejo, California for 6 years. A call button would ring a few times per year when no patient was in a specific room way down the hall. This room only used when very busy and rooms near nurses' stations were occupied. The first time I heard the bell ring, I said, "Hey, no one's in there, but I hear the call bell." We were sitting at the nurse's station. A nurse said, "There's a ghost in there." The others agreed. This was a known event by all the staff on the unit. It had been checked by the engineer. He said the call bell works correctly. As the years went on, when it occurred, we would let the new staff know of our ghost. In our second scenario, after college, that first one is interesting because I've mentioned it in the past. My mom worked for a hospital in Chicago, Shriners Children's Hospital. And she had told me that one of the little girl patients, I think she was around seven, mm-hmm. six or seven, had passed away sadly in one of the rooms. And the little girl was always riding the call button. And after her death, she would buzz my mom and buzz the nurses to try to get their attention. And finally, my mom had to walk into the empty room and say to the little girl, like Katie, I don't know what her name is. I'm just naming her Katie, but she'd walk in. She'd be like, "Katie, we're very busy, honey. There's a lot of other people here that need our attention. So I'm sorry, you have to go on now, honey. You can't stay here anymore. Just go to the light and everything will be fine," and blah, blah, blah. And that was kind of it. And then the buzzer stopped buzzing and nobody got buzzed again. So that's kind of a common story at these hospitals. I wonder how many nurses deal with that, the buzzing, either right after or right before somebody dies. And then it continues in that empty room for a while after. I wonder if that's a natural thing that does happen.
I don't know. That's either got to be A, annoying, or B, extremely creepy.
Well, you know what? Maybe it is, in a sense. Mom always seemed very comforted by it because to her it felt like, okay, we do go past this physical form of ours. Mm-hmm. We live past it. So, and she was able to communicate. She went in and talked to the little girl, and she was gone.
Hmm.
All right. The second scenario. After college, I worked 1 year in a hospital. Then I took an extra job working for a nurse registry. It was my first experience out of college working at a nursing home. It was a huge nursing home, about a 45-minute drive from home. My first shift was during the day. One lady was hollering at me and was very combative when I gave her the eye drops that were prescribed. She haunted me. My second shift there, I was afraid to take care of that abusive lady. I prayed on my drive there, wondering how I could take care of her again. In report, they said she had died. What a blessing for me. I was so relieved. That's sad. My third working at that nursing home, I worked from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. and was assigned 50 patients. I was the only licensed nurse on the unit. It's about 2 a.m. I went upstairs to give some medications. It was like a scene from a horror movie. The room was dark with a nightlight on, 4 or 5 beds in the room, patients awake and calling out, some screaming loudly and incoherently, sitting up and then lying down in their beds with their eyes bulging. No nursing assistant was anywhere nearby. I gave the meds and got out of there as fast as I could. Maybe it was the psych ward. I don't remember. I certainly felt that way. I was scared to death. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I never worked night shift again at that nursing home. And that comes from Barbara in California. Well, Barbara, thank you for sharing your stories. Good ones. Thank you all for sharing your stories with us. We'll be back again Wednesday with more of the best in paranormal talk radio. And remember to subscribe for True Crime Tuesday. Go to darknessradio.com, Click on the True Crime Tuesday banner and subscribe and never miss a minute of the best in true crime talk radio. And if you love Darkness Radio and Beyond the Darkness, we know you're going to absolutely love True Crime Tuesday. So stop waiting. Go sign up for it right now. It's easy. It's effective. $5 a month gets you 4 brand new episodes delivered every Tuesday. You can listen to them anytime, but every Tuesday a brand new episode breaks, and it gives you access to all of our past episodes as well. So you'll be able to go back about, I know, a little over a year, year and a half on that now. Tim, do you know how many episodes we've done of True Crime Tuesday now with the Patreon?
49, I believe.
49. Oh, so is tomorrow our 50th episode?
No, I believe tomorrow's 49.
It's okay, 49. Tomorrow's 49. So next week's the big 50. So that's cool. That means when you pay that $5, that's going to give you basically 50 episodes to go back and listen to. And then you get all the brand new episodes as they become available. So there's no more reason to wait. God, you're getting the best value you could possibly get. And remember, you could sign up month by month. You just pay that $5 every month. It gives you access to those shows. Go sign up for it now at darknessradio.com. Click on the True Crime Tuesday banner and subscribe. That's it for that guy. I'm this guy. This is the show you've been listening to. Make sure you're back again with us Wednesday here on Beyond the Darkness.